But what is happening is that our Christian standards are constantly being lowered so that we can meet our goals. People are being baptized today who don't even know who Ellen White is. It wasn't too long ago that I went to a church over in LaGrange here in Illinois. I was walking down the steps of the church, and I talked to a young man and his wife. They said they were being baptized tomorrow. And I said, well, do you know who Ellen White is? They looked at me and they said, no, I don't. Who is Ellen White? I said, you're being baptized tomorrow? They said, yes. They'd never heard of Ellen White. Well, I invited them home for Sabbath dinner. And some months later, we baptized them here after we studied who Ellen White was. But this isn't the only case of things like this happening. People are being brought into the church who don't even pretend to follow Adventist teachings or standards. It wasn't too long ago I had a man come over to see me. He wanted to be baptized. I studied with him, and some other pastors I'd known have studied with him in the past. And he refuses. He does not want to give up smoking cigarettes. So I had asked him, and he said he still was smoking. I said, well, I cannot baptize you. Do you want to quit? No. He said, I don't. He doesn't want to stop, but he wants to be baptized. I discussed the whole situation with him, and he said that if I didn't baptize him, he would go over to the church at West Central. He told me that the pastor there said that if he gave up smoking for one day, he would be baptized. Well, sometime later, he gave me a call, and he said that he'd been baptized and that he had given up smoking for one day, but he was smoking again. You see, the closer we get to the end of the 1,000 days of reaping, the more and more standards are going to be lowered. Satan has done this same program before. It's identified for us in the Great Controversy. It's the deception. Books of a new order are written. A system of intellectual philosophy will be introduced. And the founders of this city are going in, the founders of this system, I'm sorry, are going into the cities and doing a wonderful work. But as it says on Great Controversy 44, 45, 46, it says, converts were added who were less sincere and devoted, and the way was open for Satan to obtain a foothold. That's what he is doing today under the disguise of church growth programs, which are sponsored and founded and based and documented and supported by Fuller Theological Seminary, John Savage, and worldly theologians. That's who we pattern them after. What business does God's church today have in going to Babylon and finding out how to get its church to grow? It says there on page 45 and 46, what happens is these converts come in who do not uphold Christian standards, who are not sincere, they're not devoted, they're not converted, and they begin to persecute God's people within the church. That's what's going to happen. It says on page 45, after a long and severe conflict, the faithful few decided to dissolve all union with the apostate church. And brothers and sisters, Laodicea is apostate. The Omega is not Desmond Ford. The Omega is not Walter Ray. Those are only the results of the Omega. The cause of the Omega is a rejection of the spirit of prophecy across the board. Kellogg in his day was a leader in the church, and he rejected Ellen White. And he wrote Living Temple. She told him not to. Living Temple was a result of him rejecting the spirit of prophecy. Living Temple was not the cause of the Alpha, it was the result. The cause of the Alpha of apostasy was a rejection of the spirit of prophecy. Today, the cause of the Omega, a continuation of the Alpha of apostasy, is a rejection of Ellen White as the messenger of the Lord, is a rejection of the spirit of prophecy. And it is done in a worldwide basis. That's what's so startling about it. It's not from without the church structure. It's not outside. It's not a few theologians here and there. Those are only the results of the Omega. They're only the results of attending on an apostate educational system. The cause of the Omega is a rejection of the spirit of prophecy in Adventist home, in education, in medical practices, in worship practices, in diet and health reform, in dress reform, across the board. And you try to talk about these things today in the structure. You sigh and cry over them, brothers and sisters, because if you don't, you won't get the seal of God. But if you work for the denomination, and you do, better count on the fact that you will be fired. You will be put out of the synagogue. And praise the Lord that we have that opportunity of participating in the sufferings of Christ, because he too and his disciples were put out of the synagogue. But the founders of this system that are bringing the new books into the church are written about again in Series B, number 2, page 54 and 55. It says, the Sabbath, of course, would be lightly regarded, as also the God who created it. Nothing would be allowed to stand in the way of the new movement, and nothing is. Nothing is being allowed. The leaders would teach that virtue is better than vice, but God being removed, they would place their dependence on human power, which without God is worthless. Their foundation would be built on the sand, and storm and tempest would sweep away the structure. The structure that's talked about here is the structure, the corporate structure of the Seventh-day Adventist denomination. It's true, God's people will go through to the end. God's church, his faithful souls, will go through to the end. But just as in ancient Israel, just because you are an Israelite does not mean you're going through to the end. The structure fell in ancient Israel because they rejected Christ. And the structure is fulfilling the blueprint leading up to its fall in the future. Only God's faithful souls are going to go through to the end. There's a misunderstanding of what the church is today. When you bring out and study the books of a new order, you won't find out. And you'll be told all different things about what the church is. Acts of the Apostles, page 11, says that God's church is faithful souls. And that's what it is. It never has been an organization or a corporation. It's always been people. On page 315 of the Upward Look, it says it very nicely. Ellen White says, God has a church. It is not the great cathedral. Neither is it the national establishment. Neither it is the various denominations. It is the people who love God and keep his commandments. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Where Christ is, even among the humble few, this is Christ's church. For the presence of the High and Holy One, who inhabiteth eternity, can alone constitute a church. Brothers and sisters, we are fulfilling the requirements as specified in Series B, number 2, pages 54 and 55. The Omega of apostasy will continue until the second coming of Christ, until the close of probation. The structure will fall. What God is trying to do by things like Davenport scandals, things such as that, and things that are going to happen in the future, he's trying to take men's eyes off the modern rabbis, off the organizational structure. And he's trying to get them to stop worshiping the church denomination and worship him again. He's trying to get people to stop having human saviors and corporation saviors and trying to get them to have a divine savior. And he will succeed if people will listen. But as in ancient Israel, people have blinded their minds to the truth. They're following after men and teachers of their own choosing and heaping up for themselves fables instead of the truth. Our hearts should weep over the condition. We should sigh and cry over the condition in modern Israel today. But we are warned, and we've been told in the book, Selected Messages, First Selected Messages, page 406, and I'll close after I read this. There's a statement there that we need to memorize, we need to meditate on. It says, we want to understand the time in which we live. We do not half understand it. We do not half take it in. My heart trembles in me when I think of what a foe we have to meet and how poorly we are prepared to meet him. Notice how many times in two sentences she uses the word we. One, two, three, four, five. Five times. One, two, three, four, five. Six times she uses the word we. No doubt who she's talking about. Seventh-day Adventists. And then she says, the trials of the children of Israel and their attitude just before the first coming of Christ have been presented before me again and again to illustrate the position of the people of God in their experience before the second coming of Christ. How the enemy sought every occasion to take control of the minds of the Jews and today is seeking to blind the minds of God's servants, that they may not be able to discern the precious truths. Page 407, the next page, she says, Satan worked through the Jewish leaders and inspired them with enmity against the Redeemer of the world. You notice that the trials and the attitudes of the children of Israel in following Jewish leaders that were inspired by Satan and that we're working with enmity against the Redeemer of the world. That was a trial in ancient Israel. That was a trial for the ancient Israelites. And she says here that the trials of the children of Israel just before their first coming are an illustration of the trials of the people of God before the second coming of Christ. Today, men have attached themselves to modern Advent Jewish leaders. And the Jewish leaders are crucifying the truth. It is a mystery to me today how one can be a pastor in the Seventh-day Adventist structure and study the spirit of prophecy in the Bible for 20, I hope, 40 hours a week, and they can't see that across the board in nearly every different program you can think of, there is need of reform within the structure. But they know unless they preach peaceful, safe sermons, they will be fired. And it is exactly the same trial that the ancient rabbi had in ancient Israel. The ancient rabbi, if he followed Christ, he would have been fired. He chose to crucify Christ because of his job. And today in modern Israel, it's exactly the same thing. The children of Israel have a trial too. Why, they have to realize that they must follow the truth and follow Christ instead of following a Laodicean organization. They must sigh and cry and try to reform. They must reprove and counsel and entreat people to try to see what's going on. Instead, they've attached themselves to a structure and to a building and to a man to try to get them to be saved. That's a trial that ancient Israel had. It's a trial that modern Israel had. The attitudes in ancient Israel are the same as the attitudes today. In ancient Israel, they didn't want to hear you unless you had the title of rabbi. In modern Israel today, they don't want to hear you unless you have the title of rabbi. You have to graduate from the popular schools. You must have the doctor of theology degree. You must go through the approved system. And then the people will want to hear you. We have exactly the same trials and attitudes that the children of Israel had just before the first coming of Christ. It's a sad thing that these books are so carefully written and given to us, and we've ignored them so much. And we have heaped up to ourselves teachers that are leading us away from the truth and are authoring books of a new order. Let's close with prayer. Father, we pray that you will be with us as we try to study more. Forgive us for our inefficient ways in which we try to study and present truth today. We pray that your Holy Spirit will guide us, help us to counsel, to reprove, to entreat. Help us to sigh and cry in the areas in which we need to be so vigilant today. Lord, we commit ourselves to you. We ask that you take control of our lives. We pray, Father, that areas that of our lives that have been lost or been compromised into our adversary's hands be rededicated to you. We pray, Lord, that you be the Lord of our life and that you take control of us completely. We choose you today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.